We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Welcome to the Roto Grinders Morning Grind Podcast. I'm your host, CBTPFL. It's Monday. It is August 23rd. It's 2021, and we have six baseball games to talk about here on today's slate. I'm joined by my buddy, Keith Eister. Eyes819. What's happening, Keith?
What's up, man? Recording after another NASCAR race here. You were all over Blaney and your betting picks. You wrote up Byron as your favorite tournament play. He absolutely smashed, so... Can't do a show with you on a Sunday without plugging your NASCAR content. Just another awesome job by you.
I appreciate it, man. Austin Dillon does it wreck, and like we break the internet, yep. Because I was on a lot of good stuff today. So, and like I was super nervous because like Chase Elliott was doing really well, and then he kind of faded back, and then he went forward. So I mean, the race was such a good race overall. Just to watch. And I know a lot of people don't like the 550 horsepower package, but I think a place like Michigan, where we're getting action packed racing, Michigan's usually a race like you fall asleep during. And I mean, I feel like this package really works for a track like that. So fun race.
Yeah, it was a fun ending. Byron and Larson were making a run there. So yeah, fun to watch.
So, but we're back with some baseball. We're coming down the home stretch, man. Like in a few weeks, we're going to be talking like playoffs and like who needs to do what and stuff like that. But right now, we're still just kind of breaking down the season as we keep rolling here. And I mean, I've fully committed to switching over to 2021 stats fully now. I don't even look at last year's numbers anymore. And I mean, I'm even looking at 30-day stuff on some of these guys. So I definitely think we're in that full swing of that, 2021 season. So let's get started. Six games, Arizona at Pittsburgh is where we get kicked off here. This game, 8.5 total, pick 'em game. Will Crow, and we don't know who's pitching yet. I think it's going to be, Mejia pitching for Arizona. So we'll kind of go with that. I don't know is he even in the player pool?
I do not see him in the player pool.
So we're not even going to get into talking about him too much here. Any interest here on the other side on Will Crow?
I mean, it's a shorter slate, 7,200. Arizona is not a lineup with a lot of thump, but I don't like the upside here. Arizona doesn't strike out a lot, and Will Crow is not a big strikeout pitcher. I think we do have one good value option on this slate. So I don't think we'll need Will Crow.
Yeah, I mean, Will Crows is not a guy that's going to go out there and light the world on fire with strikeouts. Decent strikeout rate at 21.5%, but walks a lot of people, gives up a ton of hard contact, hardly generates any soft contact whatsoever. So, I mean, even Arizona as a team that's not like this fantastic offense, I think they're still good enough overall to beat Will Crow. So I think at 7,200, I'm going to pass. And I mean, yeah, let's talk bats here. Arizona, I just got done saying it. Like, Will Crow is a guy that hardly generates any soft contact. Any of these Arizona bats that you like here?
Yeah, I do like Arizona a fair amount. Josh Rojas has kind of a funky price on DK. He's 4,700. That's a little more than we want to pay for him. But Ketel Marte back in the lineup at 4,600, very fair price for him. And Kelly at catcher at 4,400. I think he makes sense. And then everybody else is a value bat. Pavin Smith is probably one of the first ones I would look to. He's 3,200 in the outfield. Asdrubal Cabrera is probably hitting in the middle of the lineup at a really low price. So I think Christian Walker, if he cracks the lineup, just some really nice pricing on Arizona. I think they're going to make a lot of sense as a secondary stack.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I get it. It's just, it's, they're going from Coors to Pittsburgh.
Like, yeah, that's not a great,
what a change. Drastic like change just in general here. So I'm certainly a little worried about that. I mean, they're cheap. Peralta's 2.9K. You mentioned Smith. He's 3.2K. I think if you want to look at some of these guys, they're definitely guys you could potentially play here. But, I mean, on the other side, you got Pittsburgh. They're not a great offense. Do you have any interest in these guys?
Not a great offense, but if it's Mejia that's getting the start, I was looking at his numbers before the show. He has like an ERA over 5 in AAA this year. So I think there's some value options here on Pittsburgh as well. Brian Reynolds is their top hitter for me, barely priced in the mid range. Ke'Bryan Hayes is right there too. Colin Moran has been dealing with some injuries, but he's back now. I think you can play him. So kind of very similar to Arizona. We don't love the ballpark here, but I think that both of these teams can be used kind of to supplement your main stack. I don't think I want a full stack either of them, but I think they have some pieces that are in play today.
Yeah, I mean, we saw him pitch a little. Was it last season? And I don't even think, like, he started, I think, 3 games last season, and it wasn't anything great. I think he had, like, a 3% soft contact rate. He was a fly ball guy. Looking at his minor league numbers, he seems like more of a fly ball guy. So I think he's someone you could definitely target some power bats. Colin Moran, you know, we know he has power. It's just, it sucks that you got to take a first base spot up on him over there on DraftKings. But I mean, Reynolds, Polanco, all these guys are okay. Yoshi, like, I think you could look at some of these power bats and just try to use this game just overall as like some value, but I don't think I'd stack either one of these teams.
I think that makes sense.
All right, moving on. We head to Toronto, Chicago White Sox, Toronto Blue Jays, 9 total in this one. And the White Sox, a slight favorite here at about 115 to 120, most books. Lance Lynn, Alec Manoah. Any interest here in Lance Lynn?
Lynn is a guy he's in the Cy Young conversation this year, right? Been one of the best pitchers in baseball for this season. But it's about as bad as matchups get. Toronto, just a ton of power and patience in this lineup. And he's fully priced. You're not getting a discount on him. I think he makes sense for tournaments, but I don't know that we need to go here in cash. So maybe just a couple of sprinkles, but I don't think that he is the best option today.
I think if he comes in at lower ownership, he's the best tournament play in the slate. And here's why, right? Like, this lineup, we know how good the Toronto lineup is, but they're a very right-handed heavy lineup. And Lance Lynn is very good against righties, 32% K rate, 114 ISO, 215 WOBA, less than 5% walk rate. I mean, it's a good pitcher against a good lineup. And in this scenario, like, the variance is just, it's really high. It could go either way. So I think Lance Lynn's a fantastic tournament play when we're looking at overall upside in this spot. I mean, how many other guys, like, I think he put up over, it was right at 30 fantasy points against this team earlier this season. So, I mean, like, the, how many other guys on this slate can you be like, oh, he could get to 30? Like, Lance Lynn is like in like a handful of like two guys. Like, I mean, so I think he's a great tournament play. I mean, sure, you could stack Toronto against him. I'm not going to. I'm going to respect his numbers. He's been good against righties throughout his career. He uses that cutter, like sinker combo. And I mean, it just eats guys up. So, I mean, definitely want to look into the batted ball data a little bit here with Toronto tomorrow. But at first look, I like Lance Lynn a lot for tournaments. There's a reason the White Sox are a favorite in this game. I mean, it's a slight favorite, but there's a reason. Alek Manoah on the other side, he's a solid young pitcher. He's 8,500 on a slate that we don't have a ton of options. The White Sox lineup has some strikeouts in it. Do you have any interest here in Manoah?
I do have interest in Manoah. That strikeout rate, I believe, is the highest on the slate. The White Sox lineup strikes out a fair amount. I think he is one of those other guys that can get you to 30 points. So I do have a lot of interest in Manoah here, even though it's a tough matchup against the White Sox.
I mean, it's two really good offenses, but in this game, on this slate, I mean, we got some bats coming up in a couple games here, and it's just like, we look at this game overall and it's like, I mean, I might take shots on both these guys because, like you said, how many other guys do we think can get to 30? I don't think Montgomery can get to 30. I think I looked before the podcast, is like highest over the last 10 games is like 10. He's the highest priced pitcher on the slate. Zach Greinke on a really good day can get over 30. But he's going to live in that like 20 range. Maybe on a really good day, the Yankees are a pretty heavy strikeout team. But, I mean, nobody else on the slate. So, I mean, we have like a handful of guys at best that can get to 30. So, I'm with you. I have interest in Manoah here. I definitely think he's somewhat interesting. Let's talk bats in this game. Manoah actually has a higher strikeout rate against lefties. I mean, I think if you want to look at some of these White Sox, it's Abreu, it's Jimenez. But that's really it. I don't have a ton of interest in the White Sox here. I don't have a ton of interest in bats in this game in general.
Yeah, I agree. They're all expensive. So getting the full stack, I don't think that's an option at all. Like, it's just not a good enough spot to want to pay a premium for these guys. So if you want to chase home runs, yeah, I think you just look to the power bats.
Toronto. And like, again, like, it's the same thing. These guys are really priced up. You know, Vlad is 6K. And I mean, he can take anybody deep. We've been talking about Marcus Semien here a lot recently, quietly at 30 home runs on the season. But I mean, just overall, I just don't see myself using a lot of these guys against Lynn. Like, maybe a one-off power bat if I'm in that range, but that's about it.
Corey Dickerson is still down there at 2,800 on DraftKings. I think he's going to be a fine value option. He's been hitting like fifth or sixth usually for this Toronto lineup. So I think he's going to make a lot of sense. But outside of that, yeah, not a ton of interest.
All right, we get the Yankees at Atlanta taking on the Braves. 9 total. Braves a slight favorite here at 140. Against Montgomery. Montgomery's the highest priced guy in the slate. I just got done saying this. I mean, the Atlanta lineup is definitely not as scary as it once was this season, but I still don't think I can pay this price for Montgomery.
Yeah, this price is very puzzling to me as well. Not sure why he's the highest priced pitcher on the slate in this matchup. The Braves added a bunch of guys to fill in for injuries at the trade deadline. That's worked out really well. They're leading the East now. So, yeah, just a tough spot for Montgomery, I think. The Braves are pretty right-handed now too. So don't love Montgomery here, especially not at that price tag.
Yeah, I mean, it's more of just the price. Like, they're going to be able to throw, like, Soler, Riley, Swanson, Duvall, Contreras, Albies. Freeman's good lefty-lefty, puts the ball in play a lot. I just don't have a ton of interest here in Montgomery. any interest here in Inno on the other side?
This is a high variance spot, but I think that there is some upside with Anila here. I mean, before he went down, he broke his hand, I think it was, and he missed a couple of months. He was pitching really, really well. Strikeout rate is over 27%. I'm a little bit concerned about the leash. He's just one start back from the IL. He threw 80 pitches. So you probably don't get much more than 90, 95 here. But I think there's some strikeout upside, and the price tag at 8,300 is fair enough. So I have some tournament interest.
I mean, I think his upside's like 25 plus, but his floor is like 5. I mean, there's a lot of strikeouts in this lineup. Don't get me wrong. And Inno is someone that is very young and very talented, has good electric stuff. 27% K rate on the season is no joke. The dude has a 13% swinging strike rate. So, I mean, I could definitely see him going out pitching really good here, but I'm worried about the pitch count for sure. But yeah, I mean, you know, the Yankees are a team that's either going to hit him hard or strike out a lot. So tournaments, it's a 6-game slate. You got to take chances. Yankees bats. I mean, I'm targeting the power guys. Like, you know, even though he has good stuff, he does give up a lot of hard contact. I think 45% on the season, almost 50% to lefties. So I really like Joey Gallo, Stanton, Judge. Like, the big power bats in this lineup are the guys that I'd be targeting here.
Yeah, they have really nice prices also, especially Gallo and Rizzo are both really underpriced. They do lose the DH going into a National League ballpark. So,
no Stanton maybe?
No Voit for sure also. Stanton might play the outfield, but
yeah. It's that's even more reason not to play Montgomery.
I don't know what – we'll have to see how the lineup shakes out for sure. But I think against Inoa, it's definitely going to be Gallo and Rizzo in the lineup with, as lefties, and both of their prices are very attractive. Judge, obviously, you can play against anybody. So agree with you on hunt the power here.
And then on the Atlanta side, I mean, I think they're a really interesting stack. We don't have a ton of places to go on this slate overall. But, I mean, Atlanta against a lefty – my biggest concern, Keith, is the game stays close enough that you don't get those like last few innings because the Yankees bullpen is so good. But I mean, their star like reliever is a lefty too. So I mean, I think Atlanta is somewhat interesting. My other thing about this offense just in general here is the pricing on these guys are so high.
They're still crazy priced up.
Yep.
Like Freeman is over 6K, Albie Swanson and Riley all over 5K on DraftKings. So definitely have to pay for them. So I think Soler and Duvall would be my favorite plays of the bunch. But yeah, Montgomery is a guy that doesn't get blown up too often. Pretty good control, keeps the ball on the ground somewhat. So. And then, yeah, a really good bullpen to deal with after him. So I agree. I don't like the stack. Hunt home runs with Soler and Duvall probably would be what I'm looking to do.
All right. We're going to keep on keeping on here. We got the Cubs, the Rockies and the Cubs. It's Hendricks and Sensatella. No total. And while you talk about Sensatella, I'm going to pull up and see if there's going to be any wind in this game. Really quick, and it's always the night before, so it could change. But what are you looking at here with Sensatella? Yes, I'm delaying. It looks like we're not going to have really. It's very slight blowing out to left, but like 6-5 to 7 is what it looks like. So I don't think it's going to matter as much.
Okay, sounds good to me. Because since I do have some interest in Sensatella, he is not a guy that we usually ever like to play in DFS. Very low strikeouts. Just a ground ball contact guy, but this Cubs lineup has been atrocious and they have been striking out at like record setting pace. I believe their strikeout rate is over 30% since the trade deadline when they moved their guys. So there's some upside, and at 6,000 on DraftKings, Sensatella makes a lot of sense as an SP2. I don't need a big strikeout game at that price. You do get him out of Coors Field. I looked up his home road splits. His K rate for the season is 15%, but on the road, it's up to 17%. So slight bump getting out of Coors, and then just a matchup against a huge strikeout team. So for $6,000, I think that makes some sense.
You play anybody against Cubs. Let's be honest. You realistically, you played anybody. They're not, not only are they striking out, they're not walking. Like Ian Happ is still pretty patient at the plate, but overall, they're just not walking. So yeah, I'm with you. Since
they just got done with a series against the Royals, and I just looked up their Keller put up 27.9 DK points, Bubich put up 30.5 DK points, and Hernandez put up 29.6 DK points. These are not great pitchers for the Royals. That is some insane production against the Cubs.
It has to pain you. This is a Cubs. This is a diehard Cubs fan talking on the podcast right now, and it just has to pain you. And you, we, I don't think we've talked since the trade deadline because you were on right before, and you're like, yeah, they're going to move all these guys. I was like, oh, they're not going to move, and they moved everyone. Like, they didn't even, like, they didn't leave anything. They're like, ah, we're out. We're done. We know we're done. Hendricks on the other side of this game, low strikeout guy, struggles with lefties. I mean, it's not like the Rockies lineup is great, but Hendricks is 8,100. I feel like he has pretty limited upside, and on, even on a six game slate, I don't have any interest in him.
Yeah. I mean, when you have Anoa right there with big strikeout stuff and Manoa, just both of those two are priced just above him. So pretty easy to get either of them. I think they both have much more upside. I could see Hendricks putting together a decent game here against Colorado. He's not going to be one of my higher owned targets, but I would probably sprinkle him in if I was playing a bunch of lineups.
Let's talk Rockies bats. I mean, the problem is, like, there's not a ton of great hitters in this lineup, but I mean, CJ Cron, Blackman for sure at 4,400, McMahon down there at 4,300. Those would be the guys that I'm looking at here. Trevor Story, obviously. But the Rockies, they're not going to break the bank. So I could definitely see myself using them as like a secondary stack here.
Yep, I agree with you. I do like McMahon quite a bit. If you wanted to use a one-off, I think he's the guy that makes sense with his power. Dom Nunez is a cheap catcher also. He should be in the lineup here against Hendricks. So like that one. He's 2,700 on DraftKings.
All right, on the Cubs side, I mean, outside of Wisdom, I don't have any interest in this lineup.
I agree with you. Senzatella isn't going to put a bunch of extra guys on base. Good control. Keeps the ball on the ground. He's going to throw a several double plays. That's what I'm thinking here. So, yeah, I don't like the Cubs either.
Oh, man, it's crazy. So, all right, Kansas City at Houston. This game at a 9 total. The Astros, pretty big favorite here at 235. We got Lynch and Greinke. Let's talk Lynch first. Daniel Lynch, lefty going up against Houston. Just pitched pretty well against this team last time out. You know, he threw 7 innings, only allowed, I think, 1 run. Any interest here in Daniel Lynch?
When I first looked at it, there's like no way I'm playing this guy. And then, yeah, you just mentioned he just faced them and performed really well. Houston is never a team I like to target with pitching in DFS. So I don't think, I mean, if he was a 7,000, I wouldn't want to do it at all. I'd have no interest. At 6,500, I guess if Senzatella gets popular because of how bad the Cubs have been, he could maybe make sense as a pivot, just hoping that he duplicates that last outing. But it's not something I'm looking to target like heavily.
So I think here's where Lynch comes into play, right? If Senzatella is going to have monster ownership on this slate and nobody else is playing anybody else in this range outside of Senzatella, Lynch is the next best option.
Yeah.
I mean, you're playing him over Crow. You're playing him over Blackburn, probably. Marco Gonzalez, you're not playing him. So, I mean, like, process of elimination is more of just like, all right, to get different, maybe I'll take Lynch over Senzatella and just hope he outscores him.
Yep.
It's good too, because I know Bregman, I know they said that he's going to do another, at least one more rehab game in AAA on Monday. So, I mean, you know, Bregman's not going to be back in the lineup either. So, I mean, I could see Lynch doing okay here.
Yeah, at 6,500, he doesn't even need to go out and do what he did last time. You can settle for less than that, especially on a shorter slate. And, I mean, we've kind of ran through most of it. There's not a ton of like just guys that are going to blow you away. So if he can get you 15 to 20, you're fine with that.
All right, Zach Greinke, other side here. 8,900 for Zach Greinke going up against Kansas City. Struggled mightily. Zero strikeouts against this team in his last start. I mean, that's Zach Greinke to a T there, buddy. I mean, in cash games, he's probably one of the safer options here. You're probably looking at him. What are your thoughts here when it comes to him?
He's very similar to Hendricks. Like, he's probably going to go out and have a decent outing, but just not a lot of upside. On a slate that doesn't have much upside, maybe he gets it done and he throws one of these outlier starts where he goes eight innings and strikes out six or seven, and that gets you there on this slate. So maybe sprinkle him in a little bit, but yeah, I would rather play one of the young guys for a little bit cheaper that have more strikeout upside.
Yeah, I mean, cash games, I'm all for playing Greinke. Tournaments, I mean, you're looking at the upside guys, in my opinion. Bats in this game, anything on the Kansas City side stand out to you here?
I think Sal Perez has a good chance to hit a home run, but outside of that, there's not really much to like.
Yeah, I mean, Sal Perez really it for me. I hate paying up a catcher, so I probably won't play him. I mean, if you need a cheap punt shortstop, Nicky Lopez, he's been hitting the ball really well here recently. So I don't mind maybe looking at like Nicky Lopez, things I didn't think I'd be saying. But I mean, sure. Yeah,
they're all really cheap. Benintendi and Dozier are almost minimum price, which is insane. But I mean, Greinke is not a guy I like to stack against. He just elite control, and I mean, he doesn't get blown up.
All right, let's talk Houston bats. I mean, I know that Lynch just pitched well against them. We all probably played Houston in that spot. I think this is a spot you go back to the well and hope it just kind of works out.
Yeah, I remember that day well. I played a lot of Houston, and I'm going to do it again. Like, just too good of an offense, and Lynch doesn't have enough of a track record to where I'm sure that he can go out and dominate him again. So I think Houston has quite a bit of upside here. They could get to Lynch easily. Correa is my absolute favorite here with his price tag in the mid-range. Altuve at the top is a great option. Gurriel has had a surprisingly great year, and especially against lefties. I was looking at his splits. He's performed really well against lefties this year. You don't love paying 5,100 for him, but I mean, the results have merited it this year. So I wouldn't leave him out of a stack either.
All right. We finish it out here with Seattle at Oakland. Yes, this is still a game. Marco Gonzalez and Blackburn facing off. 8.5 total in this game. It's a pick'em game. Some books have Oakland at like 125, but a lot of them are pick'em here. Any interest in Marco Gonzalez?
No, not in this matchup. I'd rather play Hendricks, who's the same price. I'd rather get up to Greinke even. I mean, I'd say those two names because they're guys with similar type upside. If I'm looking for a guy who's not going to get blown up and just give me a quality start, I prefer those two guys over Gonzalez. I like Oakland quite a bit here in this spot.
I mean, they can just go so right-handed heavy in this spot against him that, I mean, for that reason alone, Marco Gonzalez is really solid against lefties. So if for some odd reason, if Oakland like loads up on a bunch of lefties, then you're taking shots on Marco Gonzalez. But if they play their normal right-handed heavy lineup against lefties, with Olson being the only lefty in there, I'm with you. I think the Oakland bats are interesting. Any interest in Blackburn on the other side here?
Cheapest pitcher on the slate, assuming that we don't get Mejia in the pool, which as of right now, he's not in there. So 5,300 on DraftKings. I don't see the upside. I know Seattle strikes out quite a bit, but Blackburn just throughout his entire, even minor league career, hasn't struck anybody out really. So he's just going to manage contact and try to get you through five innings. I mean, just similar to what he did in his first start. He did last time out, five innings, three Ks, seven DraftKings points. I don't know that that's enough and not something I'm probably going to target.
I mean, we saw this guy for 27 innings last season, and his It wasn't 27 innings. It was like two innings. Every time we've seen this guy pitch at the major league level, his walk rate has been really high. He struggles at walks. He doesn't strike people out. I don't know. I mean, Oakland's just at a point where they need arms right now. So he does do a good job of generating ground balls from what I was looking at from his minor league numbers. He's more of a ground ball guy. I don't have any interest in him here. Let's talk Seattle bats. Anything standing out to you here for Seattle?
Yeah, I mean, they have some good value options as well. So just as we've kind of talked through this, a lot of the hitters on this slate are very fairly priced. I don't think salary is going to be much of an issue at all. But yeah, like Seager at 3,800 jumps off the page. Haniger at 4,100 is, I mean, perfectly fine. Toro has hit pretty well. I really like J.G. Crawford if he's in the leadoff spot. I think I might be able to talk myself into a Seattle stack even. So I do have some interest in Seattle.
Yeah, I mean, my favorite is Kyle Seager. The, you know, fly ball hitting Kyle Seager against a ground ball pitcher makes a ton of sense. So I think this is a good spot for Seager. Haniger, and then if you want to throw in a third piece and make it a three-man, I never hate the idea of doing that. Oakland on the other side, I mean, I just got done saying it. They can go very right-handed heavy in this spot. So, I mean, I definitely have interest in, like, Marte and Kana, Chapman. If I'm looking at, like, doing three or four, I definitely will put together a five-man here.
Yep, I'm with you. We kind of alluded to it. I think Oakland is my favorite, depending on how chalky the Yankees get. And if people want to target, I don't see Chicago or the White Sox or Toronto getting much ownership. So we'll have to keep an eye on the Oakland ownership. But as long as they're not like super chalk, I think they're my favorite stack on the slate.
All right. Let's talk morning grind game and then we'll get out of here. Under 8K to get six or more strikeouts, who do you got? There's very limited options.
Yeah, very limited. Let's see. I actually had somebody, when I first did the research for the slate, Lewis Gill was projected to pitch for the Yankees. He's off the slate now, so searching here, and there's not a lot to like. I guess I'll take a shot on Will Crow. I mean, I don't see Senzatella. I don't want to play Senzatella for the strikeout. So I guess Crow is the option.
Yeah. I mean, I'll go Lynch, I guess. I guess
it's rough down there.
Anyway. Yeah. I mean, on the other side are over 8K to score under 15. I feel like this one's a little bit easier.
This one's much easier. We just talked about my favorite stack being Oakland, so Marco Gonzalez is going to be my guy.
I'll go Hendricks. I know the Rockies stink, but yeah, he stinks too. Over 4K to hit a home run, who do you like?
I'm going to pick on your guy, Ryan McMahon, for Colorado. Hendricks struggles with lefty power. Even if there's no wind in Wrigley, I think McMahon can take Hendricks deep.
All right, I'm going to go Chapman against Marco Gonzalez. We just got to talking about Oakland. Really like the spot for him. Give me a guy under 4K to get two hits on the slate.
I think Blackburn, his main skill is ground balls, so if J.P. Crawford gets the BABIP on his side, he can roll a couple out there. I like J.P. Crawford to get two hits.
All right, I'm going to go Kyle Seager, and one of them is going to be a home run.
Nice. I like it.
Stack to score six or more runs.
It's Oakland for me. I think they blow up Gonzalez in the spot. Give me Oakland.
I'm gonna go a little off the board here and say Arizona.
I like it.
Just because there's not a ton of options. So, all right. Any final thoughts before we get out of here?
Running out of baseball season, we got football right around the corner. So
it is. It's so close.
Yeah, a couple weeks away.
It is so close. That is for sure. All right, that's going to wrap it up here for Monday. We'll be back talking baseball tomorrow. Good luck, everyone. We'll see you then.